Welcome back to the Tuesday edition of the Can of Grapevine. My name is Suzanne O'Connor. In the studio with us now, we've got musical chairs happening here, is Hillary Fennell, who is the Community Initiatives Coordinator and Project Lead for the County's Community Safety and Wellbeing Plan. Welcome.
Thank you. That was a mouthful. You did well.
Right? Oh, there's going to be a lot of mouthfuls, I think, in this interview.
That's right. We got lots to say.
Well, because, I mean, really, there's so many complexities and nuances to everything that you and your department are up to that no wonder everything is a mouthful, because how do you put something, so you've got five different projects that you're working on. Each of them are massive. Each of them have an active or action plan team of various professionals and people here, residents in Prince Edward County, that are putting together each of these action teams. And within each of those, there's a lot of complexities and nuances that you're just uncovering now. You've already been in the works about this for a couple of years. And I think things are just going to just keep getting better and better and better, because everything that you and your and all of these different people are up to is nothing but positive and forward thinking.
No, it's very inspiring. I feel very fortunate to have landed and be doing this work here in a community that I was born and raised in. So it's rewarding on all levels. Plus, I get to work with some of the finest folks in Prince Edward County in these community partners. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to be me? It's a good gig.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we talked about how there's five action teams. Let's just go over those now. There's the Seniors Support Action Team. There's the Housing and Homelessness Action Team, the Domestic Violence and Intimate Partner Violence Action Team, and the Mental Health and Problematic Substance Use Action Team. The action team that we're going to be focusing on today is about poverty reduction. Why did you want to talk about this one first in our five-part series about the county's community safety and well-being plan?
Well, I think in many ways, all of the other action teams kind of serve as a bit of a branch to poverty reduction. So many of them tie back to issues of low income and challenges of folks living in poverty that are even more impacted for things like problematic substance use, for example, as a coping mechanism. And so this particular action team also functions a bit differently than the rest. They all have their unique kind of approaches to how they work, but this group in particular, because poverty is a systemic issue and there's only so much that a community itself and the partner sitting at a table and the municipality can do to support residents, it's a really kind of unique action team in how it functions.
And would you say that the issues that are that this action team is helping move towards solving, would you say that it kind of is an issue that filters through all the other action teams as well?
Yes, I would say so, for sure.
Okay. So how many people are in the Poverty Reduction Action Team, and how often do they meet?
Sure. So overall, the Community Safety Wellbeing Plan is comprised of about 40 community partners. So that's folks that are here in the county, but also a number of partners who are over the various bridges off the island. And about half of those folks are involved in the Poverty Reduction Action Team to some degree. So that's it's a pretty hefty action team in that regard. They'll meet about once a month, and that also varies depending on what the need is. If there's a particular topic at hand related to poverty reduction work that's immediate, then those folks might come to the table more frequently or less frequently. It's a bit enigmatic in that respect.
Okay. Let's talk about the image of Prince Edward County that may not be including all of our reality, as I think we're going to learn by the end of today's talk with you. There's articles that are written about Prince Edward County the world over now about our winery region and luxurious Airbnbs, our famous beaches at Sandbanks, all of our handcraft breweries, and the culinary choices galore. There's spas, and now there's even a couple of luxurious hotels. Yet, according to the County Foundation's Vital Signs report in October 2023, approximately 10 to 14% of the county's population lives on a low income, and the county ranks highest in Ontario for the percentage of low income seniors and second highest for food insecurity. So there's a real disparity here.
Absolutely. It was interesting. I was with some colleagues that also work in community safety and well-being work a few months ago, and they were describing kind of a summary of what their community looks like, painting that picture. So there was context when they described what the issues were in their own rural communities. And it made me think, how would I define Prince Edward County if I was asked? And that bookend is the I think it was the Ottawa Citizen had said, you know, Prince Edward County is the gastronomic capital of Ontario. And I work every day with folks who further highlight that we have at minimum a 1 in 4 household being food insecure in our community. So those are the two extremes of what our community looks like now. And really, we're no exception for the Ontario, that Ontario picture where that disparity is extreme. And here, so much of it is about the working poor. So those folks who are struggling to make ends meet, they're providing for their families and themselves. They're employed, but despite that, you know, whether it's due to increased cost of living or medical circumstances for an adult or child in the home, or they're caring for an additional or multiple additional family members, they're just not able to make it work comfortably. And so Prince Edward County is right on par with what the rest of the province looks like in that respect. The poverty rate in Ontario is estimated to be over 10%. So there we sit, 10 to 14 here in our little rural community. So,
and I would think that for the County Foundation, and whenever they put together, they gather all these different statistics, it must be really hard to gauge something like poverty, because what is poverty? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. There's so many different examples. You've already alluded to a couple of them. So when people are looking at a place like ours and saying, but what are you talking about? Everybody looks so happy, mm-hmm. and they've got beaches to go to, and, you know, the morale must be great. You know, they're living in heaven. You know, around every corner is, you know, beautiful wood fences and milking cows and mm-hmm. sheep and so on. So it's hard for folks to see this poverty issue. You've already alluded to a couple of examples. Can we talk about more what is poverty in the county?
Sure. So I can tell you, like, from a housing perspective, for example, most folks would say they don't frequently see people, you know, curled up on a bench in Delhi Park or on the main street of Picton. Many folks who are underhoused in Prince Edward County or living rough are couch surfing, particularly this time of year, where they are resourceful and working to get themselves out of the cold. We have many residents living in what's referred to as deep poverty. So those are individuals and families that are struggling to survive and function off of less than $20,000 a year. If you can fathom that and the cost of living and you know, the rising cost of groceries, we're all impacted by that. But imagine your neighbor who was already struggling to make ends meet, and now they're also faced with the increased cost to feed their families. We know through the Vital Signs data that there's over 400 children and youth who are living in low income in Prince Edward County. I would harbor a guess that that number continues to increase. And again, to your point, like, the definition of poverty varies. You could be looking at the low income after tax. You could be looking at Stats Canada that uses the basket measure for goods and services. It's, I think it looks differently depending on where you're looking, who you're looking at, and what their circumstances are. And of course, it varies depending on where you are. So what that income need would be here in Prince Edward County for folks to make ends meet would look differently than it does in, say, the city of Ottawa or some of those larger centers. And also, we're a tourist community, so there's so many folks who can thrive in the months that we are stacked with people coming to visit said wineries, breweries, and beaches and restaurants. But when those folks quiet down come November, then we have a number of residents who are either balancing multiple part-time jobs or have to leave the community because they can't afford to stay here when there isn't that tourism buzz that keeps things going. So it's a real struggle.
Well, and let's face it, too, especially a struggle if they have been living here since they were young. Maybe they're even, you know, several generations in. And so to get up and move because you can't afford your property tax or mm-hmm. your groceries now, and because groceries are going up when salaries aren't being reflected. Mm-hmm. So I can't imagine the stress. So let's talk a little bit more about the poverty line. So there's poverty line on paper, and then this can make somebody eligible for some municipal relief programming that we're going to talk about again in a few minutes. But when it's not on paper, because of the fact that they might be out in a rural area, and maybe they have a well, mm-hmm. and so therefore their water bill isn't going to be reflected, and they can't take advantage of a relief program that helps with water bills. So can we talk more about this kind of nuance where they might not be poor, so to speak, on paper, and therefore eligible? Is this something that the county can somehow maybe work towards where these people can also be included?
So municipal councils recently endorsed the continuation of the Municipal Financial Relief Grant Program and funding being available. That program's been in existence since 2022. As it currently stands, there's a family threshold of about $64,000 and change, and an individual threshold of half that, $32,000 and change, that would make folks, residents eligible who currently have a financial relationship with the municipality. So they pay property taxes or they have a water bill. And so what the Poverty Reduction Action Team will be looking at in the first couple of months of 2026 will be a real evaluation of that program as it exists. Is it serving our most vulnerable residents? Is it reaching the people who are most in need? The example of rural residents who are on a well, who obviously aren't paying property taxes or inadvertently are through a landlord, but they themselves aren't paying a bill to the municipality. How do those folks get reached? And that's been a question that's kind of circled back to this action team a few times now. So we're going to do a deep dive of discussion into that program and how it might be better suited to make sure it's meeting the needs.
And I like the way that you put that too. You said relationship with the county, because like you say, that's where you can say you've got a water bill or you pay property tax. So that's where the relationship is. That's mm-hmm. where we can see how much money are you not able to pay, and therefore hopefully they can access this relief program. Mm-hmm. So let's talk more about the relief programming that you have set up and that you're working towards maybe even being more inclusive.
Sure. So the Municipal Financial Relief Grant Program comes out in the application process starts in July and allows for folks to see that relief on their September bills, for example. And so this evaluation of that program as it stands, we'll be looking at who else could be reached. Do we need to be stretching those dollars more so more folks can have maybe a smaller pocket? Or is it about reaching those folks that I referenced earlier that are in deep poverty, of which we know there are many? What kind of relief is substantial enough to really make a difference? It's more of a poverty alleviation than it is poverty reduction. But since I've come into this role, I've had a number of folks express to me very honestly that, you know, they've applied for this program and been eligible to receive support from this program since its inception, and they've now come to count on it. And so we're very mindful that, you know, that $750 relief on a property tax bill could make or break it for a family. And, you know, how do we evaluate making sure that the program itself is sustainable and serves? And it's also worth noting Prince Edward County is very unique in that a financial relief program of this nature isn't a commonality. It's not a given. It's something in this case particular to Prince Edward County. You'll find lots of municipalities will have relief programs for seniors specifically, or seniors on disability, or seniors in low income. Or they'll direct people to provincial programs that support folks in those situations. But our municipality has really put a magnifying glass on the fact that we, you know, we do want to make sure that our most vulnerable residents are supported in any way possible. And this program is unique in that.
The county did its own cell phone drive where it collected used cell phones from the community and had them professionally cleaned and all data information erased so that they could go to new users and to people who couldn't afford a cell phone. This is an excellent example of how people in our community can help. And I would think that this kind of initiative is something fairly easy to set up that maybe folks who want to volunteer for something could do. Do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think there's a number of things out there. We've got lots of creative outside-of-the-box thinkers in this community. I'll use the Prince Edward County Food Collective that's recently come back together in the last year. They're working on a community supper campaign so that they can provide community meals to whomever in those deep pockets of the community that maybe are underserved, so people can come together and have a meal at no cost. And so that the cell phone drive was an initiative that stemmed out of the conversations regarding poverty that took place last April in the community. We hosted a number of them throughout the area, and that was a suggestion that came forward. And so it was municipally led this time around to ensure that we managed to get it off the ground. But I would certainly be keen to speak to anybody who's got ideas that would like to take some initiative in the community, rally with their neighbors, and work towards other things that support folks in need.
I know another idea that I've heard you talk about is a snow shoveling program. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of win-win because the teenager gets their volunteer hours that they give to their high school, and then the older person gets their driveway done for free. Mm-hmm. So have you actually seen any programs or initiatives like this put together in neighborhoods in the county?
I know that the city of Belleville, not the city itself, like the municipality, but the city of Belleville as a community has a program similar to that. I don't know exactly the ins and outs of it, but certainly it would just require some volunteer leadership from somebody who's willing to keep the list of who needs the shovel and who's interested in volunteering to shovel. As a parent of a 14-year-old, my kid would be thrilled. I'd be thrilled for him to be out there. He would be thrilled to be doing it, something physical, especially, you know, if you're just walking a shovel a few houses down the road, you look after something for a neighbor in need and meet your neighbors, which is something we heard in those poverty conversations too. So many folks don't know anymore who lives nearby. And so it's a connecting point on so many levels that has that warm and fuzzy to it. So that would certainly be an initiative that could be led by residents in the community and supported by the municipality in whatever way that looks like.
And we're going to be speaking with you in another couple of weeks. And we're going to be talking to you every 2 weeks about all these different projects that are under the umbrella of the Community Safety and Wellbeing Plan. So maybe we can talk about more initiatives. You've also talked about how you're going to be doing something, you're wanting to do something with the frontline workers at Shire Hall, where if somebody does have a great idea, has an initiative, and they want to start it, like the snow shoveling program or the cell phone idea, that they can actually contact someone at Shire Hall to say, how do I get this going?
Well, and we've got such great customer service representatives that work for the municipality, and they're really keen to help residents that reach out to inquire in any way they can. And so they have access now to a human service resource that lists all of the partners with the Community Safety Wellbeing Plan and directs people to things like food programs, whether that's, you know, the food bank or PEC Fresh Good Food Market, or supports like the Salvation Army or Alternatives for Women. And so it's an exciting opportunity in 2026 to be able to better support our colleagues with the municipality and understanding what are the resources that are out there. And if they happen to come across somebody who might be in need, they'd know where to direct them to next, or at minimum, they can send them my way and I can do what I can to bridge them to that resource.
Great. Actually, it's not a couple of weeks that we're going to be talking to you. We're going to be speaking with you and Lori Farrington on February 3rd regarding the Mental Health and Problematic Substance Use Action Team. So yeah, looking forward to that and more abstract conversation about problem solving for our future in our community.
Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to it.
We've been speaking with Hillary Fennell, who is the Community Initiatives Coordinator and project lead, really, of the county's Community Safety and Wellbeing Plan. And we'll be speaking with her and Lori referring to on February 3rd. Gage, we're past 1 o'clock, so I guess we should thank the folks that were on today's program. Thanks very much to Hilary Fennell, to Paul Snepps, and to Duarte De Silva. Myself, I produce the show and the segments today. Gage Broderick, I can't tell you how much this guy is the glue here. Trish Van Heusen, who welcomed our guest today, and Joe Martin, Helen Morris, do all sorts of things here to do with the Tuesday Grapevine and every other edition. And Pearl Huckel, the dynamo that she is, putting together an awesome weekend newsletter every week for us. If you want to get that weekend newsletter, all sorts of different ways you can do that, mainly our website, 993countyfm.ca. My name's Suzanne O'Connor. We'll see you again next week.